timeless music. Kofi, why this song? Why?
Why this song? Well, you know what? The world needs a lot more love these days. And I was born in Ghana. I grew up listening to these kind of classic love music. And yeah. Reggae is my favorite artist of all time. So if I had to pick a song, Lil Wiz. Any day I'll go for Reggae song. And this is one of the standout songs that I love from him.
Genius. Genius of a musician. I'm convinced he's not human.
Oh yeah, he's a big.
He was given to us by the music gods.
Mr. Music Man. Man, yeah, any genre he can do, like he is just a musician. Like you can't even classify him. Like, hey, what type of music does he make? Mr. Music Man, just music.
That's and it. I love it. That's why he's Mr. Music Man.
You can listen to a song 20 years from now; it's still
timeless. It is timeless.
Just incredible.
And any song he makes. So Kofi, for those that don't know the song, what's the name of the song and who's the artist?
Well, the artist is Progentry, and the name of the song is Odomaya. It's just basically explaining how you can be in love with somebody and be missing them whenever they're not around you. Basically, I picked that song because of the love aspect of it, and that these days, like I said, we need more love in the world.
Bring back romance. Bro, Kofi said it. Bring back the romance.
We have to bring back the love. I love it.
They say Ghanaian guys are not romantic. Go and listen to the song. Absolutely brilliant.
Breaking stereotypes.
Seriously.
I love it.
And it really, honestly, you listen to the lyrics, it really is. He's like, listen, I'm going to cook. I'm going to prepare you a meal. When you get home, and if you don't get home, I'm not going to bed. I'm not going to sleep unless you're home and I make sure you're safe.
That's
breaking stereotypes in that time. And this song is about, 20 years old, 22 years old.
Yep.
So this isn't like, yesterday's song. Exactly.
Ah, man. Kofi, thanks for this song, man. We needed to bring it back to one of these classics. So Doc, what's the phrase of the day today?
Yes. Okay. So our phrase of the day today is, which is that he who had did not want and he who wanted did not get. So we'll discuss that deep.
Deep. I'm looking forward to going deeper into this as we chat further on this episode.
Yes absolutely. And hello again, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Salome Kwame Redu. I go by Sal.
And my name is Samuel Akwasi Boateng, and I go by Sam. Welcome to our podcast, Doctor
or an Embarrassment, where we profile the life of the immigrant child in the diaspora.
So this is essentially the immigrant's guide to disappointing your parents. And on this season, we will be profiling and highlighting entrepreneurship.
Yes. And today we have with us the one, the only, Kofi Donkor.
Welcome, Kofi. Akwaba, welcome
thank
to
you,
the
thank
show.
You, thank
yes,
you.
Sir. Yes, sir.
So Kofi, thank you for making the time to be with us today and chatting. So what we'd like to do for our listeners is we want to get to know you and get our listeners to get to know you a little bit. So we're going to play a little lightning round. We're going to ask you a couple of series of questions. First thing that comes to mind, word association. Answer right away. No need to explain. If you want to explain, you can. But first thing that comes to mind, answer. And we're going to try to get to know you doing this and analyze you. Who really is Kofi by these questions? All right?
Okay.
All right, sir. First question is, where were you born?
Ghana.
Where? Where in Ghana?
Adamkwame Kumasi.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Shout out Kasi.
Hey, Kumerica. and where's your family from in Ghana? Your family's from Kumasi?
My family's from, exactly where I said, Adamkwame Kumasi.
Adamkwame, okay.
All right, and at what age did you come abroad or did you travel?
At the age of 13.
Okay. And when did you first go back?
I've never been back.
Ooh.
All right. So we got some work to do.
Yeah, we bring Kofi home.
Hashtag get Kofi home.
Oh my God.
We're starting that movie. Kofi, what's your favorite Ghanaian movie?
Favorite Ghanaian movie? Wow. That is a very good question. I don't have a favorite Ghanaian movie. Because honestly, I don't actually watch a lot of Ghanaian movies. I'm more of a the Nigerian movies, actually, I've watched a few. And my favorite will be a movie called The Secret Code by Mercy Johnson.
Okay.
All right. Interesting. Favorite Ghanaian food?
Food Amutu.
Of course.
But Amutu with what soup?
Yeah, that's a good question. What soup?
Well, the thing is, not everybody knows how to prepare rare quine. So it's only like once a year that I probably will get that. But it would be
Amutu. Listen.
Underrated. Okay. Underrated.
Listen, rare is another level. You can't just do it anyhow. No. That is.
When it hits. So it has to be prepared properly.
Yes,
underrated. I love that. Kofi, outdoor in or wedding?
Wedding.
Okay. All right. And jollof or wache?
Wache.
Malt or Fanta?
Malt.
Yes. Okay. Peanut butter soup or light soup?
Wow. I love both. I love both, but you got to give me a choice of what kind of meat do I have in there.
You can pick any.
You have goat and mackerel in the peanut butter soup, and you have,
If I have the same goat and mackerel in the light soup, then I'll choose the peanut butter.
Okay.
If the meat are equal, I'll choose the peanut butter soup.
Okay.
Afrobeats or High Life?
Oh, High Life.
Yes, sir.
Like I said earlier, I'm old school, you know?
Old soul.
All right, Adwa or Azonto?
Wow. because it's mostly High Life, Ninty, I'll still edge on the side of Adwa.
Okay. KLM or Delta?
Which
KLM. KLM. We're known as the KLM babies, so you know. I ain't even gonna lie on that.
All right, top three GH artists of all time.
Top three GH artists of all time. My top three are Kojenki, number one.
Yeah.
What's this man's name? Okonfor Kwade, number two. And then my number three will be Starpocket.
Okay. All right. I want to see your playlist after this. I love those choices. All three are all-time classic.
Two of the three are on my list. So good taste.
Which two? Okay. I guess Kwade is not on your list. Kwade is still on your list.
I had Kojoji on my list.
Yeah, and you had Lumba. Okay. No, that's super under. I love that list. Finally, doctor or an embarrassment?
Doctor or an embarrassing? Well, I'll say doctor.
Okay. Yes. Oh,
there we go. Thank
it's
you.
It's okay. Team Join doctor. Team doctor. we'll forgive you.
Charge, man.
All right. Now for the official introduction. Can you give us and the listeners the name that you were born with? The name that they gave you at your outdooring?
Okay. The name I was born with. I actually have four names. There is an English name ahead, but I have never associated myself with it. And it's actually supposed to be Bright, Kofi, Chumasi, Donkor. Wow. That's the four names. Yes, but I normally go by Kofi Donkor. You just took out the first and then the middle.
And I guess why do you, I guess not especially associate with your English name, or why do you
Donkor? Well, from childhood, I never really kind of like that name, so I never really took it upon myself, and I love to be called my own, like Kofi, the Ghanaian name.
Okay,
I like it better than being called Bright.
Yeah, I love it.
Kofi and do you know of any significance of your name, the name that you were given, somebody you were named after?
Well, I was named after my grandfather.
Okay.
Chumasi Ankara is basically Chumasi is faith.
It's a big name.
Yeah. And it was by my, since I was named after my grandfather, that was his name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No, that's big. So Kofi, officially Akwaba, welcome to the show.
Yes.
Thank you.
First question for you, as a child, what was the first thing that you wanted to be when you grew up? Like the first thing you could remember?
The first thing I could remember that I wanted to be was a police officer, because my uncle was a police officer.
Oh, wow. Well, that's pretty cool. That's big. And what did mom and dad think about that career choice?
Well, I was very young. My dad was not around. My dad was over here while we were there, me and my mother.
Right.
So around those times, really, I was very young. This was around, I think, 9, 10 years old. So, you know, you grow up, you want to be a cop like your uncle, but there's no inspiration for it. It's just because your uncle is a cop is the reason why I chose that. That's what I wanted to be.
That example.
I guess, did you ever express that to your mom, right? Growing up?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Be. Like she says, okay, well, when you grow up, you go see your uncle and your uncle will get you in. You know
how. Oh, well, yeah, how it goes. That's nice. So what do you do now? So what's your current professional title?
Currently, I'm a shop foreman, mechanic at 2K Auto, which is the partnership company that me and my colleague there, Kofi, who was supposed to be on here earlier. That's basically, I'm the head mechanic of that shop.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
That is super cool.
Listen, a good mechanic is absolutely priceless. I don't know if for an adult there is like a professional partnership you can have better than a mechanic.
Oh, he'll your be, life. He'll be the one to tell you, my partner will be the one to tell you that we're working very well together. Like it's the partnership has been great. It's been a great experience. He's more of the entrepreneur on the business side.
Yes.
And I've been doing this for about 17 years.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I have the knowledge of how to run the shop because I've actually run multiple shops before opening my own.
Wow. And why did you decide to pursue this business? And how did you get into this line of work?
Well, I graduated high school in 2003 and I went to Fleming College to go do police foundations. I actually wanted to pursue it even here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When I came back down, the process in getting it, it was a lot tougher than I actually thought it would have been. Yeah. So when I finished, I didn't have anything. I was just doing securities here and there type of jobs.
Right.
At that point was when, I was actually at home. I was thinking hard about what I should do now next because I'm the policing I had given up right after school, honestly. Wow. And
yeah, because they want to interview every member of your family, right? And make sure that nobody has a criminal record. They're going to go back to Ghana,
yep.
to your homeland, to make sure everybody's pristine, clean before they give you an interview.
Yep. The process is very long. And they usually err on the side of if your family member is already in, it's easier path for you because they already know most. So most of the people that we actually were in our classes, they were like children and grandchildren and nephews of officers already.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you're already going up a hill against them.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you got nobody in it. So you're starting off fresh. So it's a lot tougher road than my competitors basically had to take.
Wow.
So when I came back down, I went to it in Peterborough, Fleming College.
Right.
And when I came back down, didn't want to just go from security here to security here. It wasn't enough to pay for me. So that's when I decided, you know what? I'm going to do a trade. Mm-hmm. Find a trade that I'm good at and study it and see where it can get me.
Wow.
Yes. So this one was actually, I can say, to be honest with you, one of the only people who actually literally enjoy my job. Wow. I love what I do. I'm actually happy to go to work every single day.
That's amazing. That's priceless.
Yeah. I think that's what we often look for in this, you know, in life in general, right? Just being happy with what you do. And when you find that calling.
Yeah.
So I'm super happy you found that. Yeah. And on top of it, and to find that calling, I'm sure you've achieved a lot and have you know, accomplished a lot in your life. So this is our in our episode, this is what we call our highlight reel, where we give you a space to brag about all your accomplishments. We want
braggadocious.
Yes, we don't want you to the Ghanaian humble, you know. We want you to list what you've done, you know, some of accomplishments that you've accomplished so far in your career and in your life so far. So we're going to give that away to you. Please, don't be humble. No fake humbleness.
Okay, don't be humble. I'm actually a humble person, so I can't really brag. But perseverance is what the first thing I'm going to say, and where I'm going to go with that is beginning this trade was not easy. I actually gave up in the middle and then came back to it because with the help of an Asian man who, his name is Andrew. He was in a company that... when I first started the trade, I was actually at home sleeping, thinking, and a friend called me that, hey, my transmission is broken. I'm out of my mechanic shop. Can you please come give me a ride home? I said, no problem. I got out of my bed. It was probably like 12 in the afternoon on a Friday. Got out of my bed. I went over, picked him up. When I got there, I asked the man, hey, you need help? And he says, I could use somebody who can come sweep around here. And I said, if you don't mind, I'm home right now doing nothing. So I don't mind, you know, taking that. And he tells me, okay, no problem. Come in. You start, you get about, I think that time minimum wage was around $9 an hour. So he's going to give me about $9 an hour and I can come in every day. So I said, okay. On the Monday of it, I went and started the job. Throughout the whole week, you know, sweeping and cleaning tools, start at the bottom. Did all these. And after the end of the week, this was very tough for me to handle. The end of the week, I went to my boss for a pay and I was given only 150. But I knew that I had worked about almost 60 hours. It was like 8 to 8 every day for 6 days a week. So how am I getting only 150?
Right.
And then this is against the Ghanaians, I guess you could say. Then he says, ah, Masa, unim se Ghana for umuntia. And to right now, because Ghanaians don't pay, I can't really pay you much.
Wow.
If you want, you can stick with it. If not, you can leave. So I was given an ultimatum, basically. Wow. And I told him, listen, I'm at home sleeping every day. So if that 150 will give me the experience that I need to get somewhere, I'm going to take it.
Wow.
So I took that and was getting, this was around like 2007. And I'm earning 150 a week for like 60 hours of work. And this type of work is not all that of an easy type of job.
Right. So, it's not very glamorous.
No, not at all. So, but I stuck with it because like, when I decided to go into this, I was fully committed. Mm. I actually was intrigued in terms of technologies and cars and things like that. So I really wanted to be in it and know everything about it. But I didn't just want to just learn it and not have something to hold for it, like some achievement for it. Now you just learn it and you're working for somebody for the rest of your life. That's not what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually talked to the man and told him that I really want to learn under him, but I need to be registered as an apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
What he had told me is he cannot register me because he was not, and his company was not in a position to actually take on a thing. Because, yeah. And later on, I learned that it was true, but that's only after I had to own my own company to know that you actually have to be registered with the ministry as a sponsor shop.
Oh,
okay. Or else you cannot just call somebody and just start training them. You can't register.
Right.
Yeah, but it's later on in life that I found that out. So going back, I told him I wanted to be registered. He told me he couldn't register me. And then I asked him, with all due respect, is it okay if I'm able to move on? Because at that time, I was into the job for about 8 months, and I had learned quite a bit. And even one of the gentlemen that used to work in that same shop, he wasn't with my boss, but he worked from that shop, came to me, and I was doing some work. He leaned down and he told me that you're not going to last long here. And I actually asked him, why are you telling me I'm not going to last long here? And he goes, you learn too quickly. I have seen your type before. People that learn too quickly, The next opportunity that comes, they're go.
Gone.
Yeah. So now it came to fruition, as he said. But, you know, at that point, I had challenged him that, no, no way. So from that point on, I was looking out to see who could register me and where I can go, because I have a different vision from what he sees for me. And I need my vision to come to fruition. So one day he actually sent me somewhere, and where I went and parked my car, somebody else came and ran my car while it was parked. I was literally standing beside the car. So I saw the guy and I stopped him. I said, "Hey, buddy, look." So the guy tells me, "Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. My dad has a shop. My dad owns a shop. He owns a mechanic shop. So please, he'll fix it for you. You don't have to. We don't have to go through insurance. I'm begging you, please." So I agreed and I went with him to his shop. When I got there, the first thing that the father asked me is, "You're a mechanic?" I said, "Yes, in training." And he goes, "You want a job?" I said, "How much are you willing to pay me?" And then he said, "Well, what's your experience level?" And I said, "I could do this, do brakes, do this. I cannot do engine. I cannot do transmission. I'm not at that level yet. But, you know, these things are what I could offer." And he said, "Well, you know what? I need somebody anyway. So I'll pay you $300 a week. Can you come start next week?" I told him, "You know what? I'll go and I'll let you know." So I left there, leaving my car there for them to fix it. I went back to the shop. And I told my boss that, "Hey, listen, I met a guy and he's offering me this job and this is the amount. To be honest with you, if you can match that amount, I will not leave, because I actually like working here. But if you can match that amount, I will not leave. And then if you can also find maybe one of your friends that has a sponsor shop that could register me, I literally don't have to be there. But if they can register me, that will help me to be able to achieve my dream."
You're a super loyal employee.
Yeah.
And work with you.
That's the inner Ghanaian.
Yeah. So he says, he tells me that, "You know what? I'm sorry. Ghanaians don't pay. I cannot match that. So I guess it's better you go." I told him, "Thank you very much. I really appreciate the time, because you got my foot in the door and I'll forever appreciate it. But thank you. I will go, because this is regarding my future." Yep. I left him, went to the new place. The first order of business is register as an apprentice, because I know exactly what I want. So call the ministry. They come in. They look at the place, assess the place. It's good for an apprentice. Then they register you. They registered me. I started working. Now, when you do register, it's the school, the government that writes you when you have to come start school.
Okay.
Yeah, with the automotive apprenticeship, we get written to come to school once we register. So they'll tell us when to come and what classes and which schools are available to take. Yeah.
Okay.
So I registered. Now, unfortunately, when it came time to go to school, this new boss, he was an Indian man, told me that, "Well, if I leave, who's going to work for him?"
Ugh.
So I can't go to the school, because I would be taking time off.
Right, right.
And I said, "Well, then, I mean, if I'm not going to go to the school and achieve what I need, then really, I can't really, you know, do this." So
you do both. Yeah.
Yes. I decided that, you know what? My future is more important. So I have to, if this man's not going to allow me to go to school, then I have to also start looking. Right, but at that point, I was tired of moving around. You got to go here, find a new shop, all because of the apprenticeship.
Right.
So I gave up. Like, I quit. Wow. I quit the trade completely at that point. Man. This was around 2008. And I said, "You know what? I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm quitting." And after that, when I quit, I could only get a job in a temp agency. So I went back to a temp agency. They sent me to a kitchen cabinet making company in Bolton. So I'll drive there every day to go to work, end of the week, make my $400. And I was content with that, but obviously unhappy, because it's not where I wanted to be.
That's not your first love.
But no. And so I mean, money was okay, so I still stuck with it. And one day, we had a change of the supervisor. The company actually made a few changes and they brought in a new supervisor, an Asian man named Angelo. So he walks in there and he targets me. He comes straight to me and says, "How you doing, buddy?" I said, "Good. You are too young to be in here. Why are you working here?" And then I said, "Wow. Oh, I need money, you know?" And he goes, "You look like my son. I wouldn't allow my son to work in a company like this. I'm the boss. There's a difference. You're an employee." Yeah. So, you know, and then I said, "Well, you know what? The truth is, I was actually in a trade, a mechanic trade, but I've been tossed around left and right so much that, you know what, I'm just giving up and I don't want to do this no more."
Wow.
So he tells me, "Okay, no problem. I will see you tomorrow." The next day, he calls me into the office and tells me I'm fired.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I ask him, like, "Wait, why am I fired?" He says, "Because this is not for you."
Wow.
He takes out a paper with like three different shops information and says, "These are my guys. Call them and ask them, any of them, that you're looking for a job and you're calling because Andrew gave you the number and that you need to get a placement for apprenticeship." And I said, "Wow, okay. Thank you. But you're still fired."
You and but you're still
fired.
"Are you still going to pay me until I get into these programs?" That would have been my question.
No, he said, "If he doesn't fire me, I'm going to get addicted to the money."
Yeah, you're going to be
exactly right. I'm not going to take it serious.
Exactly right.
So, and then he actually gave me a warning.
Honestly, this is the best firing story I've ever heard, by the way. Hey, listen, you're terminated, but listen, you're okay. Here, go here.
So he tells me that, "Listen, I'm only doing this because I know that you're getting addicted to the money and that if I don't be and be serious, you're not probably going to ever go back. You're still young. You want to go back again. It's going to be a lot more tougher than you think. So listen, you need any help, here's my phone. You can call me, but you're no longer going to be allowed to work here. And do not go to a next temp agency and tell them you need another job. Please follow up on these guys and then let me know whatever happened."
I don't know who Andrew is, but I love him.
And then I left.
Big shout out to Andrew.
And then I left. When I left, I'm looking for him right now because the company actually relocated to Guelph. I've been trying to see if I can get a hold of him and show him what his help has done me.
Oh my gosh, but Andrew, if you're listening, listen, if you're
hopefully one day I may bump into him.
From there,
I actually didn't listen to him. I did call those people and they did not have an available space, so I didn't listen to him. I called the next agency again. When I called, they gave me a job. But before they gave me a job, somehow, even though I didn't listen to him, on my days off, I used to go around to leave my numbers at shops.
Okay.
So that day I was about to go to the temp agency and a man calls me and says, "Kofi, I need you to, you still want the job?" I said, "Yes, I need you to come in today." And I said, "Oh, I'm already heading to the next job. So can I make it tomorrow?" He goes, "No, you either come today or don't bother at all."
Kofi, stop running from your calling.
And I'm like, no, but don't worry. I swear I'll come tomorrow. He's like, "Listen, you come today or don't bother because I need somebody now. My guy quit on me this morning and we're busy and I need somebody. And I know you have a little bit of experience," because he actually knew my old boss that I had left. So they had talked about me. So when he said that, I called the temp agency and told them that, "I'm sorry, I'm not feeling well. I'm really, really sick. I got up this morning bad. So I'll see them tomorrow." And then I went to the shop. The moment I got there, first month, I started working. It was good. The guy loved what I was doing. First month, he goes, "We got to transfer your apprenticeship to this shop."
Yeah.
The new place, the man wanted me to get an emissions license, which is to help him because he had an emission testing system in that shop. So he wanted somebody who could be able to do it when he's not around.
Right.
This man was a Pakistani man. I'm very, very grateful for him because he's really, really honestly has helped me get to where I am now. Wow. And when I got my emission license, he basically, 2 months into knowing me, went on 2 weeks vacation, left the shop in
oh my goodness.
He said, yo, you're good, Kofi, you're good.
2 months, and I was like, and basically how he did it was, we had an actual mechanic who knew, because I didn't know everything at that time, to do everything. And yeah, the actual mechanic who knew everything, he didn't trust them to run the shop.
Oh.
So instead, he made me in charge, and I got to make sure that that guy does what he has to do. And yeah, and I was really, really thankful for that. Like 2 months into, I into that shop around end of January 2008, and April of 2008, he left and went on vacation 2 weeks.
Wow.
So I managed, when he came back, I had written everything down, accounting, whatever we paid for, whatever we bought, gave everything. I didn't even take a pay within the 2 weeks because I wanted him to come and pay me, count all the profit, and then come and pay me.
Wow.
So I allowed the, yeah. And then we started going. This, we built a very good relationship, me and the boss man. August of that same year, Centennial College wrote me, because I had chosen Centennial to do my apprenticeship school.
Right.
They wrote me and they said, can you come in for what you call it? You choose what day you want, but we need you to come in to choose what day you want and then pay. Now, our tuition is somewhere, I believe over $3,000, but because of the apprenticeship, the government pays 80% for us.
Oh, wow.
And so we have to only pay. So my tuition for my first year of school in Centennial was $500.
Wow.
Paid that. I discussed it with the boss, man. There's, you could either do 2 months straight and then 7 to 9 months in the shop, or you could just do one day a week for about 8 months.
Okay.
So I talked to the boss, man. The boss man said, listen, I still need you to be able to come to work because I still do want to go on vacation and other things. So, you know, yeah, he told me that's great. So I still need you to work. And me and him made a deal that from there, then, you know what, I'll do one day a week.
Okay.
I chose Monday. So that way, my weekend is a long weekend every week. Wow. So I chose Monday to go to the school.
Right.
And he was very, very supportive. I think because, honestly, he saw a vision in me and wanted to benefit.
Right.
One of the names later on he gave me was his golden nugget. I bring in the customers and I'm able to, like, honestly speak to customers, explain things in depth.
Young people skills. Listen, they can teach you education. They can't teach you wisdom. That's taught at home.
That's 100%. So we got along very, very well. Went through first year of school, finished 2009, first year. Went back again September of 2009, finished in 2010. Then went back again for the third year because our apprenticeship takes about 3 years. Completed all the school, and before my completion, before my last year, my old boss, the one that I had to transfer and didn't want me to go to school,
right,
he approached me and then asked me that, hey, buddy, my son, remember my son that hit you with the car? And I said, yes. He was training to be a mechanic too. He says, yeah, he got his license now. I said, how? I started school before him. There's no way he should. He goes, don't worry. If you want yours, I can get it for you to just bring $10,000. And I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, don't worry. $10,000, I'll get you whatever paper that you need.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
I told him, you know, I literally asked him, you know, I've actually done 2 years already, and there's only 1 year, and tuition is only $500. Like, I believe in myself that I will pass. I have passed up to now.
Right.
So why then?
Why would I pay more?
Why engage in fraud?
To make a fake one for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I told him, no, thank you very much. I prefer to actually, because to be honest with you, any young person doing apprenticeship, 100% go to the school part.
Yeah,
do not ignore it, because it will change everything that you knew about what you thought you knew.
Mm. Wow.
100%. Because the schooling helped me understand the trade itself better.
Right.
And the good thing with the Ontario, the way the Canadian one works is every company and every thing. They have law regarding what you do, especially customer service based and safety based, like ours.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Then somebody's tire fly off the highway.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in trouble. So, the third year of schooling is based mainly on the law regarding your rights, your consumers' rights,
right,
and everything regarding the law within your trade.
Wow.
Yeah. So I went through all of that, studied everything. So that's why I will advise any young person, don't ignore the school. Try your best to see if you could do it. Now, there's a higher failing rate without trade. 75% at a first fail.
Wow.
Because most of them have the understanding that you're going to the school to go learn how to take off a tire and change an engine oil or things like that.
Right.
That's opposite. Mm. You're going there for theoretical
purposes. Yeah. You're going
there for what is matter, what is an atom, how does electricity, protons, neutrons. That's what you're going to teach you. So it gets
people, you're going back to chemistry class. Guard.
That's exactly what it is.
Damn.
So it always catches people off guard when you're thinking that they're coming to actually learn that, and then they get come back and sit in science class that they probably didn't like in high school.
Yeah, Matt.
which is why they became a mechanic in the first place.
Thank you.
We don't give mechanics enough respect.
I'm telling you,
let me just choose mechanic. You know,
right.
Easy. But when you hit, if you really want to get your license, it's not gonna be as easy as you really thought it should have been.
Wow.
So yeah. You're going to go through and so the failure rate for first year is quite a bit. But once you get through first year, now you know what to expect. So there are no surprises.
Right.
So you better eat your books.
And make now sure now it makes sense why, Kofi, why you chose doctor. You've been doing chemistry for for 3 years.
He also got a chemistry degree while he was getting his apprenticeship.
Yes, while in there, it was a good experience. The school, I'll forever say everybody should. If you can, you get a chance, go to that school.
Yeah.
So, what basically after that? I promised him. I had promised my boss that. Listen, I know a lot of people because he actually sat me down and asked me that. Listen, is it when you after you get your mechanic license, you're just gonna run away or something? And I told him no. You've helped me so much that I promise you, no matter how bad my situation will get over here or could get or does get, I will give you 1 year after I've achieved my license to work for you. No questions asked. And just so you know that I'm not going to just cut because I just got my license and you helped me with it.
Yeah.
Right. So in 2012, November, I went and I did my exams for the final exams to get my mechanic license. I passed. I passed actually with flying colors. That we there's if you get above 70%, right? You get red seal.
Oh wow!
If you get below that, you don't get red seal. So I was able to achieve the red seal.
Wow!
And
let's not gloss over this. Red seal means you can work anywhere in Canada, Ontario,
except Montreal.
Except for those little funny Quebec barrier. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
All right. So you studied everything in English over here.
But
it's
you
not so easy
right,
to let
right,
some
right.
people. Yeah, that's
yeah.
why. So
okay.
mainly that's the reason. But red seal means you can work everywhere in Canada, set up your own shop, no matter where you want.
And wow. So you're like among the Navy SEALs of mechanics. Based...
top class mechanic.
Top class. So, this is the longest brag session I've ever heard, by the way.
No, don't worry. I'll get quick
with it. No. Keep going.
We're loving
your story,
this.
Your story is very compelling.
Yeah. So now from there, what decided to do, because I told him I'll give him a year, I actually stayed there after I got my license in 2012, 5 more years.
Wow.
5 more years. And the reason why I left was because we actually had a little bit of an argument, and I told them, I gave him, before I even left, I gave him 2 weeks notice and told him that when I went to him writing the letter to give him, I specifically before handing it to him, asked him, do you want me to stay the 2 weeks or you want me gone today? Because I've made up my mind to leave, but I want to give you a 2 weeks notice because that's the proper way to do things.
Right, yeah. Right.
So he says, no, I want you to stay. Now, the reason why later on, I found the reason why he said that, because mostly people will say, you got to go because you're going to start taking my customers or something like that and things like that. They wouldn't want you to stay because they know you will start informing somewhere. the customers that come because of you that you're going to leave.
Right.
But he said stay because in the community in which I work, my shop is around was around Tabor Road and Kipling area, Rexdale and Kipling. And there's quite a few Ghanaian shops also there.
Yeah.
And there was, I don't know if you guys heard of BB's Auto was one of them, and Six Star Motors, which was the gentleman's name is George.
Yes.
He tried to call them and contact them to talk to me that he's sorry and that I should stay. So wow. That's why he needed 2 weeks.
Weeks to convince them to
put things together.
Right.
And so I actually, when they approached me with it, and I told them that, no, I've made up my mind. I think I need to move on. So wow. I left him and went and partnered up with BB's Auto with Nick. And for 5 years.
Wait. Hold up. So the same people that he called to convince you to stay.
Is who you went to partner.
Partner with
one of them. One of them was who I was actually had decided that I was going to partner up with.
You're gonna partner with anyways. He didn't know.
Him personally, he actually didn't come to me and talk to me about this. It's the other ones that were available came to me because he knew that I was coming to him.
Right. Like that wasn't a lot of convincing. Hey, listen,
just not at all. So I got to him. And when I got to him, that company was already established. I just added to it. We started building more customers. It was amazing. Some of the boys will come hang around there when they have something to do. If they have nothing to do, just come sit around, talk, boys. We ran that place for about 5 years. After the 5 years, you know, I wanted to move on. And because that was mainly his shop. Because I joined him,
right?
I wanted something where I could have, like, at least you could say sole ownership of.
Okay.
And in Canada, ownership is the best. You need to at least have something where you own to be able to make sure you're doing well.
I wanted my own
shop. Hey.
Say it again.
hey, for me,
ownership is the best.
Ownership is great. I don't. I think there's different ways you can own stuff, right?
Man. You have to own something.
You do, right? But
it's not easy, right?
It's not easy. But I think my philosophy is I take it from your business partner's point of view, right? I'm not a mechanic. I can't open up a mechanic shop. But what I can do is I can find talented mechanics like yourself and say, hey, Kofi, you're opening up your shop. Can I own 10% of your shop? I'm going to throw you 10% of the startup. And I own something, but I'm not running it day to day. And I think oftentimes, you know, young guys like ourselves, we get fixated on, I want to be the boss. So I go and try to open up a mechanic shop. I know nothing about it. And I try to hire all these mechanics to do it. And it's not my passion. It's not something I'm good at, but just because I want to be a boss, I open it. So that's where I come different with ownership. I think you should own something. But if you don't have the requisite skills to lead it, let your money do the owning for you.
At least invest in it. Makes sense. Yes, I think that's fair.
Perfect. Well, that's we're almost at that place where my partner comes in. To continue with the story, I decided I'm going to go and just do my own thing. Moved on. I rented a different place. I went in there. Kofi, now he was my partner. He was my client. He was my customer.
Wow.
So he knew the kind of work that I did. So when he was actually coming to the shop, so he came by and they said, oh, I'm no longer over at BB. And he's like, so where is he? And they showed him where I was. It wasn't far from BB's. So he came over and he goes, listen, with the COVID, I'm not even getting a lot of work right now. So is it okay if I just come hang out here a little bit and then see how the business, you know? And I said, yeah, man, you want to come give me a hand? I'm open to that anytime. Come, you know, if I need something, you just pass it to me. I know you're not a mechanic, but I need whatever you can do to help me out. I'm alone, so I will greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, and then so you said Ghanaians don't pay, so it'll be 150.
Well, he came in.
He didn't ask him to come in. So he said, Ghanaians don't pay. It's COVID. You chose to come, so it's $2 a week. My friend will buy you lunch. That's it.
No. When he came in, he actually came in with an idea. He didn't just come in just to come sit around. So he comes to me and then he says, listen, you really want this thing to go big? I said, well, yeah, obviously it's a business. Right now I'm earning enough for me, but obviously I would rather my business grow.
Right.
So he came to me, wrote a whole business plan, wrote a letter, wrote a contract between us, and handed it to me and says, if you want, this is the best way we can actually proceed. I'm a businessman. You're the main mechanic. You know a little bit also about running in terms of an actual mechanic shop because you've done it multiple times. So let's put things together. And I looked at it. I read his contract over. He showed me what percentage he wants and this and that. Because prior to him, I have had a few people approach me with, like, you guys may probably know him, but because of that, I may not give a name.
That's fine.
He walked up to me and handed me $20,000 cash that he wants to own a piece of my company and he will want 20%. I didn't take that offer because I told him I wasn't ready to give up 20% of my company.
So that's a valuation of $100,000. Is that correct?
That's a valuation of $100,000.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
So, but you're worth a million. So, I mean, what the heck? That's ridiculous. That's an insult.
Yeah, well, that's how he started. Yes, but see, I didn't figure that out until I knew that the almost close to the end of the thing that the shop average overall about 20 to 25 a month grand.
Wow.
And yeah, that's money flows through like that because people come, and the more customer you grow, the more you basically then. But you got to make sure that you need to also pay every single thing that you must pay. Mm-hmm, so when he came and he presented me with that business arrangement and everything, he wasn't offering like the way other people came offering just money.
Cash, right?
And yeah, like the way Sam said it, which is, I don't know much about mechanic. I'm not a mechanic guy. I just want to just hire somebody who will basically do the work and then I make my profit. That's what the guy with the cash was offering me.
Yeah,
right.
Now, my partner, on the other hand, what he was offering me is marketing the business. He's going to be in there to help whenever he can if he's not at his real work, his job. And he's going to make sure that everything in terms of financial wise and things that things are put together. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not easy to start up. Because with startup, even though I did not accept most things for people, I actually I had a few tools ahead, but to go on my own, there's still a few that had to be purchased. So I spent almost about 20 to 30 grand of my savings to put things together.
Wow.
So far I love it. It was an amazing investment.
Yeah.
We did. It's paying off. Now we've actually hired a female mechanic who works with us. She's an apprentice. Yes, that's what she said she wanted to do. So we hired her. She's an apprentice right now, registered under our company, 2K Auto.
Shout out to 2K Auto.
2K Auto Repair. Yeah, that's basically two Kofis.
Oh, okay.
I love the marketing. 2K Auto, 2K, 2000.
Where are you located?
We're located at 321 Rexdale, Unit 2.
Okay, that's my new mechanic shop now. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, so community in the GTA area. We found
yes.
Mechanic, you can
a mechanic. Right? You can go anytime.
Yeah. One of our own.
We try our best now.
Yeah.
Kofi, he's a businessman,
right?
And now the reason why, to be honest with you, I really need him. I need him as a partner, and I need him because I'm what they, I wouldn't say a yes man, but I find it hard to say no to a lot of people.
You have a big heart.
Yes.
Oh.
And he's aware of that. So because of that, with me and him, the dynamic is, he's a businessman. He needs his money.
He's the attack dog.
Yeah, you're not.
You'll do the job, and Kofi will come collect.
Yes. That's why the dynamic is very good. Right. Because I give it out and he will come and collect it.
Right.
So it's helping us come together. We do have a few mechanics that actually come on weekends to just come help out when we get really busy. It.
Okay.
The shop is amazing, and we are building each and every day. And he's been an amazing partner to me. Some of the things that I didn't like, where he comes in, I hadn't actually dreamed up to that. But one day, it's about 3 months ago, I believe. 2 months ago. We actually just relocated to that new shop, the shop that I just gave you the address.
Yeah.
From an old place that we were. And when we did, I stood in the back of the shop with the garage door open. And while standing beside the car, one of my customers, he's now become a friend of mine, very close. He would just come to the shop, just sit and talk. And we were standing there and talking. We were looking through the garage. And I had 4 mechanics working at that time on different cars. Kofi, the girl that we've hired, and 2 more gentlemen who were also doing work. So I stood there and I looked while my hands was like, I had crossed my hands standing beside the car talking to the guy, and we're overlooking into the shop. And every other time, one person will come to me and will say, hey, Kofi, I need this. And then I'll say, okay, let's do it this way. Okay, let's do it this way. Right after I looked at that, I looked at the man and he goes, wow, this is amazing, man. You have your own now. And I told him that, you know what? Wow. I don't know how many percentage of the world actually really realize your childhood dream one day fully. But looking at the shop and looking back, this is what I call success. I've made it.
That's incredible.
So cool. The dream starting this was to be able to someday own my own shop and hire people to work for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that has been achieved.
And you can see that in that moment. That's incredible.
So, Kofi, you feel like a success now, right?
Yes.
What does your family and your mom and your dad think right now? Especially going through, you wanted to be a police officer. You had those setbacks. You were, doing temp agency, trying to get a foot in the door. But now you have your own shop. Like, what does mom and dad think right now?
Perfect. That's a very, very good question, because it's it's actually very interesting. You know how Ghanaians, we frown upon back home, mechanic, you're nothing.
Yeah.
You're just a dirty guy that works under cars and things like that. Now, over here, it's definitely not. You're a business person. You're a businessman. You run in a company. Mm-hmm, so my mom, when I decided that I'm going to go into this trade, disagreed. My father said, oh, man, no problem. Go ahead. If you think you're going to make it, I support you 100%, but my mother says, this is very embarrassing for people to think that my son is just a mechanic.
Oh, Ghanaians will kill me.
Yes. Oh, so my mom was not somebody who was 100% down with it.
Yeah.
But then because I had my father's support, I say, hey, one of them is supporting, so let's say anything, at least I know my dad has my back. So I think it was about 5 years into it, when I was working for the Pakistani guy and he would leave his shop for me to run, that's when my mom actually took me serious and started telling her friends that I am a mechanic.
Wow.
When she came to the shop, she saw the way I was running the shop and managing people and telling them what to do and everything. And she just stood there and says, wow. And I said, yeah, this is not Ghana. I'm not going to lay under a thing, just a thing. We have tools, we have things to help us. It's easier and a lot more better type of job, condition-wise and everything over here than it is in Ghana.
True.
So from there, she started gloating now. Oh, my son. Don't worry, you should go to his shop. He can help you.
Aww.
So he started, telling people. But my dad had already been doing that because he was always on my level from the beginning, from the get-go.
Exactly.
Yeah, so mom didn't really kind of like it, but eventually she warmed up to it. And now my mom passed away about 5 years ago. But my father's still here. So dad's reaction, on the other hand, when he walks into the shop, he's just expectations, you know, a man comes in, hey, you know, my car is this and this, please. You gotta fix it.
This is the CEO's dad coming to bring the car. You guys gotta fix it properly. Dad shouldn't even have to say anything. He just drives the car in and they should know what to do with it. It's my son's shop.
But the success story, according to him, that he actually loves to gloat about, that I've been successful enough to actually be able to purchase him his last three vehicles that he's owned.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's a dream. That's incredible. That's a dream.
So yeah. he's very, very appreciative of that. And he always says that then. So yeah, when he comes, he just come bring in the car. Let me see what it is. If I can, I'll take care of it. And that's what I do. So,
That's amazing.
His reception right now is through the roof, because he knows he's reaping the benefit of being a parent. Right now is the time. I'm an old school. I grew up that you're supposed to take care of the people that took care of you when you was young, you know?
So absolutely.
I make sure he doesn't lack much when it comes to my type of business and cars and things like that.
Oh,
I
love it.
So I've got a question. Actually, I got a twofold question. The first is, we got something we call the perfection equation. And I think you said you already met it, but I want you to speak a little bit to it, which is, you know, when passion meets purpose, you have pleasure in your career. Mm-hmm. Would you say you're there now? And the second is, how can other kids be able to get where you are now?
Well, yes. To answer your question first, I do believe I am there now. Like, I get up every morning going to work happy, singing, playing music in my car and just bouncing my head. I remember I stopped beside somebody, pulled up beside me in the traffic and saw me, and the guy just looked at me and says, like, what, like, why are you, singing loud and bouncing and all of that.
My friend, it's Monday morning and you're going to work all happy.
All happy. Yeah, but because you don't know how I'm going to work or where I'm going to work, you know? So,
right.
I enjoy what I do. Yeah. I meet new people every day. I interact with new people every day. Cars and technology are forever changing, so you always have to be updated as well. I love the challenge of that. Getting something new every time, every year, something different on a car that will make you more better and train you and give you more knowledge. That's always what I aspire to be. Yeah. For the young people out there, what I will advise is, don't give up, because I almost made a mistake.
Yeah.
That's where it is. Like, when you really pick something that is your calling, or that you know this is what you really love to do, challenges will come. But if when those challenges come, if you are really dedicated and possibly God had a plan for you, because I could probably tell you that if that Andrew man hadn't shown up, probably would have not never ever come back to the trade, would have probably branched off somewhere else. But he showed up and told me what I needed to do, showed me what I needed to do. Somebody else also stepped up to be the man to help me, the Pakistani man Khan. And don't give up, because when you give up halfway, you don't know what could have been. And eventually you'll end up thinking, I could have. But by that time, you would have gotten older. It would have been too late. Like I said, it's been 17 years now, and I doing this trade, and I feel like it doesn't, like, it was only a week ago that we were talking. I'm like, wow, I've been in this trade 17 years. This is amazing. Like, I never ever look back to count time or anything like that, but I know that this is a very important and a very wonderful experience that I have had. And my partner Kofi is making it even bigger with his business knowledge of things and helping me put everything together to realize my dream.
Love it. So incredible. So quickly to wrap up, what is next for you, 2K Auto, and just your future in the industry? What's next for you, and where can people where can people find you guys
on social media?
On social media, it's 2K Auto Repair Maintenance, or 2K Auto Repair Shop at 2K Auto Repair Shop, on Instagram, on I believe mostly my partner is, like I said, he does most of the marketing, so he knows most of the stuff. But we're located at 321 Rexdale. And I'm sorry, you had asked your first question.
What's next for you? Like, where do you see yourself, in, you know, with things moving forward?
Him with the marketing, he's already in the works of trying to actually acquire a second location.
Wow.
Yeah,
we want to grow it big. Going to franchising, yes.
We want to grow it big. And because we do have, like I said early on, about 3-4 mechanics that comes in at odd times to work. There is one currently that's always on duty all the time. And then that's aside from me and then me. So we are right now based at that 321, but Kofi, my partner, is in the works right now to find a second location where we can actually also be able to expand, because that's what we're looking to do. And if we have to hire mechanics to continue to, you know, make it bigger, grow the business, that's what we're looking to do right now.
Oh, that's what's up.
That's exciting. That is super exciting. So Kofi, thanks for sharing your story and being with us. Man,
so it's compelling. It's incredible.
We could talk to you for days.
I think seriously, we're have to we need to make a movie.
We have to. Honestly, we have to. You are the quintessential person that I think we really wanted to highlight on, you know, our podcast, right? Yes. You are the story that our community needs to share more and more, the perseverance. And we really, really thank you for sharing that, your story today.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
So, Doc, phrase of the day. What was your phrase of the day again?
Phrase of the day. The onyai ampet, your parents were nya, which is he who got did not want, he who wanted did not get. I'll throw it to you, gentlemen.
Man, that's deep, right? And I think oftentimes, like I the first thing that comes to mind with this, of course, the you know, the natural of, you know, you want something and that's not what you get, and whoever you don't want it, that's what you get. But like I look at it from the standpoint of oftentimes the things that we really, really want is not really meant for us, right? Like even in Kofi's story, Kofi wanted to be a police officer because that was the first thing he saw.
Yeah.
Right. And if he went with that notion of that's what I saw, that's all I know, and just fell in love with that path, we would have missed out, the world would have missed out on this amazing amazing mechanic, right? So I think oftentimes we just have to be happy with, yes, I may want something, but it's not meant for me. And I gotta find what's meant for me will find me. Kofi tried to quit how many times,
right?
And that and it kept finding him. So like that's Jonah, what I get from
I'm telling you.
Kofi, what are your thoughts on our phrase of the day?
Well, it's amazing, and I think it's true, because like you said, that's where I found success was not where I had initially started to look at.
Right.
Right. So to be able to sit, think about it, and then you know what? No matter how I tried to get away from it, couldn't, there was always somebody else that was coming in the way and telling me that nope, you gotta go back. You gotta go back. Come back to the trade. Come back to the trade.
Yeah.
So eventually when I decided to say it became a success. You know, it became a very wonderful thing to have.
Love it,
man.
I definitely agree with that phrase.
I see it as, you know, we often go chasing something that's like right in front of us all along. You know, we look everywhere else. We go, we never appreciate really what we have. Sometimes it's important to just stop and appreciate what you've got, you know, because somebody else is sitting somewhere looking at what you've achieved and you know, with green eyes, but we never really take the time to appreciate. So I think that's how I see it, that angle. Yeah, so what have we learned, Sam?
Oh man, we learned so much about Kofi today. Kofi, thanks for sharing your story once again. I think the biggest takeaway I'm taking away, two things, right, is giving back. Like in your story, you're so selfless and giving back, and even to the point of you knew how tough it was to get an apprenticeship, and you already have paved the way in your new shop, your new startup business, to have an apprentice,
make it possible.
Under you and make it possible. And not just for any apprentice, right? And I think we got to big you out, a female apprentice, right? And that's you're changing the game.
Shout without out to even you.
Knowing that. And so that's one big thing. And then the last thing in your story is how important community is.
Yeah.
Because without all those people, you know, be it the Andrews, be it, you know, your first boss, the Pakistani boss, be it, you know, your business partner now, you know, finding ways to support you and us as a community, if we can continue to support all these talented people with dreams. How can we raise that?
How many dreams can we make come true? That's very true. Very, very true.
It's true.
I mean,
true.
I learned just how convoluted it is to be a mechanic. And, you know, to be a mechanic, you can't just go and fix engines. You have to know chemistry.
Nope.
This is deep.
Yeah.
This is real deep.
Kofi, so right now we have our last question for you, what we call our mic drop moment. If you met 17-year-old Kofi Donkor right now on the street, what one piece of advice would you give him?
Good question. No, it's a real good question. Because my path, the thing is, I don't have, especially work-wise, career-wise, I don't have any regrets. Because I feel like everything I went through, I learned a lot from it. So it had to be there for me to be able to know what I should do and how beneficial it is. So because of that, for young people, it's basically just don't give up. Because I almost did and almost would have not been here if I had completely given up. Now, I was blessed enough that there were other factors coming into my life telling me to go back, pushing me from nowhere, telling me, no, okay, you're fired. Okay, no, you have to do this. Okay, well, let's transfer your apprenticeship to this, the different shop. All of that traveling, doing 60 hours a week for $150. It just, I wanted to leave the whole thing. It was a tough time, but by not giving up, I was able to realize them. So when you know exactly what you actually want, and you don't give up on it, eventually just stick with it and you're gonna make it.
Love it. So to all the young people, persevere, do not give up.
That's why I want to, that's actually the lesson I'll tell myself when because
when the going gets tough,
persevere. I do believe one thing though, which would have been different if I had met a 17-year-old me, and that would have been is I wouldn't have quit it completely. I would have told them that, listen, the little bit that you're gonna quit to go do that temp agency, it's not gonna help, because then it actually pushes it back further. I started the mechanic apprenticeship trade is actually supposed to be 3-4 years you should complete it and be able to get your license. But I started in 2006, the apprenticeship, and I did not get my license until 2012. That's 6 years instead of 3 years, because in between, I quit.
You quit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
In between, I left it. In between, there were other factors that I had to not, I didn't want to do no more. So because of that, it extended it.
There is
actually another young man who his name, you guys probably maybe came across him. This one I can say his name. His name is Percy.
Okay.
And Percy's also a mechanic.
Okay.
He's also a licensed mechanic. He has worked for me before in the and when I was working for the Pakistani guy, he was one of the mechanics that was in the shop as well. So he went straight from high school into the trade.
Wow.
He was able to get out of most of us young people that were doing the trade. He was one of the first to get his mechanic license, because straight from high school, through the OYAP program, he was, they waived off 1 year of the mechanic school for him.
Wow.
So he only had to do second year and third year. And on top of that, from high school straight, you could just go into it where within that 3 years, he was able to finish.
Wow.
So there's really a shorter way to do this. It's just that with me, because of the path that I chose, that's what took a bit longer. But if I had to advise myself, I would have said, oh, no. You don't quit. Don't even ever let it cross your mind. Stay there and just look for better opportunities, but never leave the trade.
We love it. Thank you so much again, Kofi, for being with us. And your story, I know we could go on and on for days, and we look forward to doing a part two, an update with you soon.
Yes, please.
Anytime.
So thanks for being with us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Big credits, big shout-outs to the Africa Center for supporting this season, as well as super producer David in the background.
King David.
And to all our listeners, we really appreciate you continuing to listen to us. And Kofi, one more time, we appreciate you for being on.
Shout out to Andrew.
Shout out to Andrew. Shout out to mom. Shout out to everybody who helped him in this journey.
Also,
shout out to the 2Ks.
If any young people kind of have any questions regarding anything, cars, new what car to get, things like that, or if you want to know about the way inside, because I really appreciate this opportunity that you guys have given us, because me and Kofi has actually talked about trying to do our own podcast based that when you walk into a mechanic shop, what you expect, say no more.
The
mechanic is trying to.
We'll produce it for you guys. Done. We'll give you guys a. We'll take this offline. We're done. We're gonna partner with 2K Auto. We're gonna have an auto podcast coming out soon.
Auto brand. Just you let us know. You have any questions regarding cars? Whether it's is better. All of that. We're into cars. So anything cars questions, we are open to answering it. So we were thinking of that, and then this opportunity came. So we really want to thank you guys.
Thanks for coming. So we will chat next time and look out for all the big thing 2K Autos is doing and Kofi's doing in his life. So guys, until next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.